Welcome to Cloud Tech Talks, your go-to cloud podcast from Amdus Technologies. I'm Sindhupriya, back again as your host, Senior Manager, Marketing and Alliances from Amdus. In the last episode, we have covered part one on topic, how platform engineering reduces cognitive load with Shannon Eldridge Keane. Let's resume. So, Shannon, there are plenty of tools available in the market, the developer platforms. So how do we choose the right developer platforms, or are there any key features to look at?
Yeah, so I think of it like this. It's a growing space, right? Spotify really kind of hit the ground running with Backstage. So we have a lot of customers who want their own version of Backstage that they run, right? There's more care and feeding involved in that. So the platform engineering teams have to be able to handle supporting Backstage. And then we see customers who embrace a platform engineering model that's hosted. So for instance, Harness's internal developer portal, or IDP, it is hosted Backstage. So I think of it like this. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, the ease of use is a big part of it. So going back to my earlier example, the idea that developers could use their iPad to go develop, that's a very different world. Historically, customers would have to have their own machine that would be built and designed to be able to build and release code. So ease of use, making sure that the intuitive interfaces are there, making sure that the integration capabilities are a big part of it. So, you know, everything these days has an API. How easy is it to integrate into your developer portal? So that's another component that we'll try to sort through. And it's largely why we started to align with Harness's message, because Harness is not just IDP. There's, I think, 13 or 14 modules. They all sort of hook in together, and it's a lot of different components. It's CI, CD, and there's IDP, right? There's infrastructure as code. There's chaos engineering. You can inject fault into your applications and make sure that it's resilient. You can do code scanning, right? There's so much, even cloud cost management, right? Bringing it to developers so they can kind of see what their actual spend looks like. So the integration capabilities are a big part of it. And I think if customers are out there trying to figure out how can we get a portal, look at what you actually need and figure out, does that integrate well with this platform? In theory, they all do, but then it's always like the level of effort. What do I have to do to make this tool and this tool and this tool work together? And that should be kind of the boiler template of, if it's super difficult, I mean, it's going to take a bunch of cycles. Maybe we work towards streamlining and going towards like a hosted model, right? Security, making sure that security is there related to RBAC, related to data encryption, compliance, right? That's a big world. I think it's hard for any company out there these days to live in the realm of non-regulated requirements. So making sure that whatever tool you choose adheres to your security standards. And then just the whole notion of active community and support, right? So making sure that if you run into a problem, you've got a place to turn to, whether that be, you know, I'll go back to the Harness example. It's really easy for me to talk about because I work with that team pretty regularly. But if there's ever an issue with their IDP, we've got capabilities of opening up a support ticket and getting escalated support because we're a partner of them, right? So we can kind of help customers out with, we ran into a weird bug. And I mean, they do builds and releases of the modules they have in their environment pretty regularly. And it's seamlessly, it's behind the scenes. But sometimes we have some snags. It's the nature of the beast. But making sure that you've got that support. So in the fact of, we've got a couple customers who chose to build out their own version of Spotify's Backstage. If they run into problems, it's sort of up to them to figure it out, right? So then it's just like, well, that's, now we're taking a ton of time away from developers to go and sort through it. It's just a matter of, do you have the team to do it? If so, maybe that's the model. If you don't, and you're more heavy on the, maybe you're a startup and you have more developers than you do folks that are kind of like the platform engineers, maybe that's the direction to go too. So I think of it like that, right? Integration capabilities, security, making sure that there's active community and support, and maybe even scalability to some degree, right? We want to make sure that this platform can support growth. The way in which customers are consuming cloud, it's mind-boggling to me, but it's also interesting, right? People are doing that whole shift of on-prem to cloud, and they're breaking apart really big applications. They're making everything microservices-led. So, you know, figuring out whatever, you know, you deploy, is it scalable, right? And I think that's another area to focus on as well.
Great. So thank you so much for your response, Shannon. I completely hope that our listeners would have made note of all the features that you have listed. I don't think we are complete with this topic without touching on the Gen AI and the evolving technologies, Shannon. So what do you think as the impact of AI and machine learning on the developer platforms in the coming days?
So it's an interesting question. I always feel like it might be a slightly loaded question because everybody's talking about it, right? And if
Exactly.
you look at like the Gartner oh my gosh, hype cycle, we're sort of after the craze. We're kind of right down to the moment of it becoming, we're at the plateau of, I forget what it's called, but
That's
it's the whole idea of getting to the point where it's usable. Like the hype is over, right? The initial hype, but we're starting to see it used in interesting ways. So AI-driven deployment tools like Copilot, right? Automating repetitive tasks. So Harness just brought in Gemini. They're partnering very closely with GCP. I think they run a lot on their. I don't know exactly how they do it, but I know that they're heavily running a lot of things in the realm of GCP. So it makes sense that they made that stronger connection point with GCP. So. But plugging in Gemini, that's interesting, right? It's the idea of plugging in these AI engines to streamline the development processes. So let's say you had to think through an async call or bringing a new method in, and rather than going and finding all of the documentation online and experimenting, wouldn't it be great if you could just go ask a chatbot what you could do in terms of writing it? And then maybe there's some testing, right? And making sure it feasibly works. But that sort of is one way I can think of it, like integrating Copilot, integrating Gemini, making it be part of that developer portal. I think that's also becoming the hot spot. So the fact that Harness did make that announcement, I want to say it was a week or two ago, where they're bringing Gemini capabilities into their whole modern SDLC landscape. And like I mentioned, there's like 13 different modules, I think 13 or 14. It living there. That's interesting. That makes things so much more streamlined so that you don't have to go to five different places to, build your code. Because I think moving to that model, that's where we want to get things so that our developers can remain productive. The idea of the citizen developer, right? So maybe that could be what I could call myself. Like I've gotten better with code, but I never worked for a software development shop. I know enough to be dangerous. I had a customer at one point think I was a developer. They pulled me into a code review when I was at Microsoft, and I had to pull in some colleagues of mine who actually were .NET developers, and they were really shocked that I was never a software dev. And I said, listen, like I can listen to what's going on. I know enough to be dangerous. I have played around and built out, different types of apps, like console-based apps, but I've never done UI development. I've never packaged and shipped software. So I know where my limits are, right? But, the idea that we're now talking to folks that could be like me, that folks that know they need to go to point from point A to point B to use tools that enable them, they're driven by AI on the back end now to help you, kind of plug and play versus having to know in-depth code parameters to be able to make something happen. And then like kind of the integration of DevOps tools, so API management, monitoring, observability, those services start to converge, and we're starting to see AI give better telemetry in terms of errors, highlighting anything that might be error prone, so that we don't have to go through the notion of, experiencing that pain when we do release to either, lower levels or production. And then the focus on kind of security and compliance. So, when you think about cyber threats evolving, platforms, that invest in proactive security measures, embedding security practices, having AI be at the forefront of that is an interesting proposition too. So I just see this weaved in versus it being the focal point, but it being weaved in behind the scenes. And I think that's really what's making developers productive. The idea that they don't have to stop what they're doing, go and find the documentation, go and read up on any of the things I talked about, right? Like low code, no code tools, figuring out the security parameters to be able to handle something that's, heavily secure out the gate versus applying security after the fact. So again, going back to the notion of it's all right there at the developer's fingertips, right? And then they're able to make use of what they need to in order to build and release the software they're looking to build.
So no juggling, complete focus on their core functionalities.
Right,
Got
right.
it. Got it, Shannon. So, Shannon, we have come to the end of the episode. Thank you so much again for being a part of Cloud Tech Talks. Have you ever
Sure.
listened to our episode before?
So only recently, and I think I started listening to one of the most recent. I can't think of which one it was. One of the most recent ones, and then I got interrupted. I'm gonna have to go and subscribe to it because I think I can, right? It's on is it Spotify, right? So I need to go add it to my podcast list.
It's there on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and
Okay.
whatever of famous podcast
So you're
platforms you
everywhere. I
anyway.
love it. I love it.
We really wanted to be this bridge for the cloud practitioners and developers, whoever wants to gain this knowledge sharing, who wants to acquire from the environment and solve their challenges
Sure.
just by listening to our episodes. That is what we are looking at. Shan, so thank you so much for being a part of it. Thank you for
Thanks for
your
the opportunity.
contribution.
Of course.
Thank you so much, Shannon, for being so sweet and offering me the time amidst of your busy schedule. So, listeners, it's the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. Do subscribe to our podcast. We are on Spotify, as Shannon said. We are everywhere, wherever would you like to listen to our podcast. If you want to listen to something interesting on cloud, recent trends or challenges or strategies, Cloud Tech Talks is the option. Go for it and do write all your challenges to info@amadisglobal.com. We can take the challenge and bring the right guest to address on it. Thank you so much. Till we catch up next time with another interesting guest, enjoy your cloud journey. Thank you.